Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bin Zhang, and I'm a PhD student at Lehigh University. Today, I'm going to present my paper, Straddle a Retargetable Framework for Low-Level Inline Reference Monitors. This is joint work by Professor Gan Tan at Lehigh University and Wolf Erlinson from Google. So first, there are many different types of attacks, and this is how attacks happen usually. Usually, they arrive as like a user input through like a communication channel, and then they trigger some pre-existing bugs before they take over the control of the programs. And there are many different types of attacks. For example, like a mobile code, untrusted extensions, and memory corruption attacks. And one of the extreme cases is the routine-oriented programming. What it does is try to chain together gadgets found in your program and to achieve the functionalities intended by the attackers. And there are many different countermeasures against these attacks. For example, like a data execution protection, which was invented a couple of years ago and deployed widely since like a Windows XP. And another one is address space layout randomization, which also is also deployed widely. And it's deployed in Windows Vista. And the next one is the program shepherding, which inserts like a security checks into program dynamically. And one of the efficient like a countermeasure is the inline reference monitors. And excuse me, just sorry about that. Sorry about that. And so what is inline reference monitors? What the inline reference monitor tries to embed like a security checks in the programs so that you do not have to do like a context switches to the reference monitors because they are embedded inside the programs and they are well established against various attacks. For example, like a buffer overflows and even routine-oriented programming, which can be prevented by the inline reference monitors. And it incurs like a low overhead for like a CFI control flow integrity, it incurs like a usually like a less than 10%, depending on the programs. Some might incur a bit higher, some might lower. And however, the most current implementations, they are low level. They are usually implemented through like a binary writing, assembly instrumentation, or some other transformations on low-level code. So they are tightly coupled with like architectures. It's very hard to reuse the code for different architecture. Like for example, like a Google Native client, they have multiple implementations. And for the 32-bit x86, they use hardware segmentation to do the sandboxing. But hardware segmentation is unavailable on 64-bit x86 or ARM. So for 64-bit x86, they try to insert instructions, machine instructions into the program to do the sandboxing, similar for the ARM. And most of the code cannot be reused among them. So our general idea is try to do the IIM rewriting at an machine independent level specifically, like an intermediate representation level. And there are many benefits from this. First is that you can reuse the transformations among different architectures. You can reuse the instrumentation part and the optimization part. And the second, there are much more information in the IR level. You can use all these informations for optimizations, which otherwise would be very difficult on the low-level code. And however, there are many problems with IR rewriting. There are many challenges, like the compiler transformations, they can invalidate security assumptions because the compilers only tries to preserve the semantics of programs. They do not care about security assumptions. And the second one is that you have to trust the compiler backend if you do the transformation on the IR. And the compiler is very complicated. That means that you have to put everything behind the instrumentation into the TCB that causes the TCB bloat. And so a compiler is trustworthy. The compiler takes the source code and generates a binary code. Most people will think that the compiler is pretty reliable. Actually, they are not. They're very buggy. There are many bugs found in compilers. And there are many reasons for this. The first is that compilers are very complex. They have a huge code base. Like, for example, like a GCC 4.8, they have more than 7.3 million lines of code. And even some like a tools, which, like a C. Smith, found more than 300 previously unknown bugs inside like compilers like a GCC, AIVM. And even AIVM, which has a modern design, has a modern code base, it has a pretty steady bug rate. Like recently, the number of open bugs for the Bugzilla passed more than 4,000 in the database. So our research tries to answer the following question. How do we do like an IIM rewriting at the IR level, but still preserve the low-level security? And we propose a straight-up IIM implementation framework that tries to do the IR rewriting and still preserve the low-level security. And there are many challenges, like as I mentioned, compiler backend transformation may invalidate security. And here's an example. On the left-hand side, there's a code snippet that in the IR, and there are one load instructions and one store instructions. We try to enforce the sandboxing policy here. So in that case, we need to insert a check for the memory visiting instructions. However, these two memory visiting instructions, they share the same pointer. In that case, we can just insert, intuitively, we can just insert one check in front of these two memory visiting instructions. However, the compilers do all these transformations. One of them is the register allocator. The register allocator might spill the checked pointer onto the stack between these two uses. In that case, the pointer would not be safe anymore, because according to our attack model, anything from the memory, anything from the data region is untrusted, especially the stack, which can be corrupted by the attackers easily. So this invalidates the security. So our idea is try to insert more than enough checks at the high level. And then we attach some constraints to these checks to encode those conditions that might be invalidated by the compiler. And then after the compiler transformations, we perform constraint checking at the low level. And if those constraints are still valid, then we remove these checks as an optimization. Otherwise, we leave these checks intact to preserve the security. So here's a very simple, like a C code. It does not do anything. All it has is an if-else statement. On each branch, there's a memory visiting instructions. On the then branch, there's a load instruction, there's a store instruction, which stores the value V into the memory location pointed by PTR. And on the other direction, there's a load instruction, which loads through the pointer. So if we want to enforce the sandboxing policy, then we need to insert some checks. And here's the code generated by the compiler. It's the IR code. So there are four different blocks, and the entry block and the two branches, the else and then branch. And there are two memory visiting instructions, one load and one store. And this is the code after we insert checks and attach the constraints. The color red means there are checks, security checks. And for each load and store instructions, we insert a check before them. And so for this example, there's a simple optimization. That is, you can just put the check in the dominant block, in the entry block, and then this optimization can shrink the sizes of the two branch blocks as an optimization. And we also, since the compilers can spill the checked pointer onto the stack, we need to attach some constraints. The constraints means that the checker pointer should not be spilled between the first check and the second check. And the second, similarly for the third check, we also attach a constraint for that one. And during the constraint checking, if these two constraints are still valid, then we can remove these two checks, the check two and check three, as an optimization. And here is another example. This is the C code. It has a very simple struct, has two different fields, X and Y, and the sum function sums up the two fields and returns as return value. And here is the original IR code generated by the compiler. And as we can tell, there are two memory visiting instructions, two load instructions, which loads through the pointers. And these two pointers, they share the same base pointer because for C and C++ programs, when you define struct, usually when they visit each a member, they use a base pointer plus a small constant to visit memory. And these two load instructions share the same pointer, but with only, small, slightly different offset. So here is the instrumented and optimized IR. And again, the color red means there are checks. So there are two load instructions. We insert each check in front of each load instructions. And also, there's a simple optimization here. We can just insert one check for these two load instructions because they have the same base pointer. And we attach the constraints to them also. For the second check, the constraint says that there should be no spill between the check one and the check two. If it is spilled, then it wouldn't be safe. You have to check again. And for the third check. And also, there's another constraint that should be respected. That is, the size of the offset should be smaller than the guard zone size. And here is a Strelo, the implementation of Strelo, and we do instrumentation at the IR level, and we insert IR level checks. After that, we do optimizations to optimize away some unnecessary checks. And in the meantime, we attach some constraints. And after code generation and the compiler transformations, we check the constraints. We check whether they have been invalidated by the compiler. If they are still valid, then we remove the checks. Otherwise, we leave them intact to preserve the security. And after all these instrumentation optimizations and even constraint checking, we verify the final result at the very back so that everything else is removed outside the TCB. In that case, we do not have to trust the instrumentation, optimizations, or even constraint checking. So here is the architecture. The compiler takes the source code and generates IR by the front end. And then the compiler performs some optimizations. And at the very end of the IR pipeline, we insert security checks. And after that, we perform some check optimizations and attach the constraints to these checks. And then the compiler generates the machine code from the IR and do some optimizations like a register allocation. After that, we do the constraint checking. And if the constraints are still valid, we remove these checks. Otherwise, we leave them. And for these checks which are not removed, we load them into machine checks. And in the end, we do verification. We verify the final product. So doing things this way has a few benefits. First, it's retractable. It's easy to put to other architectures. We only need to change the lowering part for the different architectures. And also, the instrumentation and optimizations can be shared among different architectures. And also, with this, you can do more optimizations, which would be difficult on the machine code level because there's more information on the IR level. For example, the IR code is in static single assignment form. You can find the definition of a variable easily. And also, you can reuse the code. So we implement the Strelo inside compiler ALVM. We insert a few like function level passes into the ALVM pipeline, and we implement three optimizations for the security checks. The first is redundant check elimination, which means that if two checks they check the same pointer, then we can remove the second check as long as the checker value is not changed in between. And the second optimization we implement is the sequential memory access optimizations. For C and C++ programs, the structs and classes, they have members, and all these members, they're visited through the base pointer to the objects. And if they use the same base pointer, we only need to check the base pointer. We do not have to check for, you know, the visit for every member. We also implement another optimization called the loop-based check optimizations. So if there's a memory visiting instruction inside a loop, and you have to insert a check before that. So for each iteration, you have to do the check again and again. And we try to put them outside the loop to reduce the runtime overhead. And also, we implement constraint attaching and checking in the compiler. And the verify is based on range analysis. So after all these optimizations and constraint checking, a verify verifies the final result. That removes everything else outside the TCB. You do not have to trust the instrumentation optimizations or even the constraint checking part. All you need to trust is the verify. And it's based on range analysis. The implementation is based on a CCS paper, but it's strengthened. Now it's path sensitive, so for different branches of if-else statement, the variables can have different ranges. And we found a few bugs with the verify in the preliminary implementations. So we implemented the framework in ALVM 2.9, and we tested performance on spec 2000. We implemented two different policies. The first one is control for integrity, and the second one is sandboxing for both reads and writes. And to demonstrate the retargetability, we tried on two different architectures. They're pretty similar, I guess. The first one is a 32-bit x86. The other one is a 64-bit x86. And we collected some performance numbers on spec 2K, and here's the bar diagram. On the left-hand side, it's the overhead for the 32-bit x86, and on the right-hand side, it's for the 64-bit x86, and this is the overhead for control flow integrity. And on average, for the 32-bit x86, the runtime overhead is about 6%, and for the 64-bit x86, the runtime overhead is about 9%, a little bit higher than the 32-bit version. And we also test the performance of control flow integrity combined with sandboxing for both memory reads and writes on Spec2K. Again, on the left-hand side, that's overhead for the 32-bit x86. On the right-hand side, that's for the 64-bit x86. And the average slowdown for the 32-bit x86 is about like 21%. And for the 64, it's a little bit high. It's about like 28%, I think. And so this is not the first implementation for IRMs, because there are some other implementations, but they are on low-level code. They are implemented, you know, through like a binary writing, and our work is implemented on the IR level, and it's retractable and trustworthy, and also the performance is competitive compared to other implementations. So in summary, we propose a retractable framework for IRMs, and we implement some simple optimizations on the checks. It has reduced the runtime overhead a bit, and we got pretty good performance numbers. And we also propose a constraint language to encode the conditions that might be invalid by the compiler. And we check the constraints right after all these backend transformations. In the end, we implement like a range analysis to verify the final result. And here's a list of closely related work, like a control flow integrity, C. Smith, and native client Pittsfield, and so on and so forth. These are very related. And if you're interested, we can talk about it. Okay, thank you.
So we have time for a few questions. Please step up to the microphone.
I'm wondering, how do you insert checks to verify the indirect cause?
How do you insert checks to verify the indirect cause?
Yeah.
Because there's like a control flow graph in the compiler. You insert the ID at the targets, and you insert the checks before each indirect cause or jumps or and returns to verify whether the IDs match.
No, I mean, you assume that the target of the indirect call could be any function, or?
It can be like any function that can be called through an indirect cause.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, probably a more general version of what he asked. In your experience, so you're basically saying you can insert checks easier by working at the IR level, mm-hmm. But how platform specific are those checks? For example, you mentioned program shepherding. Like, is there a platform independent way of saying now I'm at a return address? I actually want to check that this address is pointing to a call site. Can you have to rely on the ISA to know what a call site looks like, right?
Can you say that again, please?
Like, is it really a platform independent thing to write the check, the actual content of the check that you are inserting?
I think it depends on what you want to check, because on the IR level, not everything like is machine independent. There's some like machine dependent features. And for our like a sandboxing, because the IR is based on a RISC model, there are like a load and store instructions in the IR. And all these memory visits, they have to go through the load and stores. For those, you can check on the IR level.
Okay, thank you.
So I had a question as well. I wonder if you could compare your performance numbers that you showed a few slides back to what we saw in the first talk of this session on control flow integrity. It seems like in a few cases, your overhead is as high as 25-30%. Could you talk about that a bit?
You mean why the performance varies?
No, why is it so high?
Why so high on some programs?
Mm-hmm. Compared to what we saw, say, in the first talk of the session.
That's a very good question. I'm not sure why they are high on some. I wish I had done some like a profiling into the programs to look at the patterns, different like features of the programs. So like intuitively, I think it depends on the program. If the program is written in using different like function pointers and other features, I think the overhead might be higher. And also, if the program does more like memory visiting stuff, I think the overhead is higher. That's my, does that answer your question?
Well, to some extent, but it would be nice to understand why there are spikes arise in the first place. But, yeah. Okay. So let's thank the speaker.